The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Jordan Simone has not been on in a long time. The former Sun Devil had his cup of coffee in the NFL, sideline analyst for ASU football. Want to have Jordan on about what's going on at ASU with the NCAA, the recruiting scandal, and all that. But also, it's time to start making the narrative about the upcoming season. If Jordan Simone had NIL back in the day, who would he be endorsing? If there was a transfer portal back in the day, you know, and all that stuff, we'll chop it up with Jordan Simone coming up at 10:20. Eric Hessian is going to be with us today. Eric is Caesars Digital co-president. I feel as though that some of you are now grasping onto this September 9th date in a big way. That is the day that the legalization of sports betting happens here in Arizona. We've been doing sports betting through the years here on the show with Jimmy Vaccaro, and now it's going to be coming here to Arizona. I want to have Eric on to just talk about what Caesars is going to be doing. And, of course, Caesars is tied in with Harrah's, our partner. So very much looking forward to talking with Eric Hessian. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We thank them for their support. Next Tuesday, I'll be with Jeff Mishi at the Desert Financial table at the Fiesta Bowl luncheon for Steve Spurrier. Very much looking forward to that and the invitation. Very nice of them to extend that. I almost didn't make it to you today. So yesterday, I decided, you know, I've been grinding, and I went for a long bike ride by my mountain bike. I love to mountain bike. Who doesn't love to mountain bike? And after all the rain that we had, I went up to Santan Regional Preserve by myself. There's maybe 3-4 cars in the parking lot. Like, this is all right. I put in my earbuds. I put on SoulCycle because I'm a dope about that. Then I got my helmet on, my glasses. I got plenty of water, and I just start riding. And I'm riding, and I'm riding. I'm out in the middle of nowhere at Santan Regional. And I'm by myself. That's probably not the smartest career move, but, you know, I'm enjoying it. And it gets towards the end. There's these big hills that go up and down. And I'm taking it all in. And I get to the back side of the loop that I was on, the Santan Trail. And it goes straight back down to the parking lot and around. All right? So as I'm going down, I'm flying. And I mean, I'm really flying. And I'm hitting some rocks. I'm kind of hanging in there doing my thing. But what I wasn't anticipating is when I came off the hill, the riverbed, which is complete sand, that I would hit it going full speed. Me being a dope, I came down this hill into the sand, and just as I was about to hit it, I just braked a little bit, and I decided, wow, this is kind of fun. I'm flying, because my bike just stopped, and I flew, and I'm laughing as I'm flying, because like, well, this isn't going to end well, and unfortunately, I landed straight in sand. And I was covered in sand, and my iWatch was off the side, and my Apple Watch, and I had sand all over me, and I'm laughing. I'm like, you're such a loser. And if you really like to see that stuff of people crashing and burning, it's on my Instagram, Brad Sessmatt, and there's the little trail and all that stuff. So long and short of it, I get out the parking lot, covered in sand, stripped down, drive home, kind of laugh at myself, but was like, yeah, I just dodged one, I think. I don't know if it's age or just being a dingbat about that. So I'm reading Kirk Herbstreit's book. Herbie is going to be with us on Monday. This book's really good. Really, really. And early on, it's written by Gene Wojciechowski, of course, who does a terrific job at ESPN with Kirk. The book, so Kirk grew up in a dysfunctional household. I grew up in a dysfunctional household. Divorce is not fun. Divorce is not pleasant. In second grade, his dad left. Second grade, my dad left. So there's a lot there that I'm reading, and it's, wow, okay. And they reconciled. He and the dad got back together in high school, which is really cool. I was not as fortunate on that front. So reading it so far has been a great, great, great joy. I was up at 4 o'clock this morning for my reading, my quiet time. It was good stuff. So he's going to be with us. Again, that'll be next Monday. So I don't know really where to go on this one. The Trevor Bauer story is one that a lot of you are buzzing about and asking about. He's not going to testify now today. That came out in the last half hour. the restraining order against Trevor Bauer. He's not on the field. I don't know if he's ever going to pitch for the Dodgers again. But it is the talk off the field of baseball. I'm preferring to talk about Ohtani. So last night, I'm in my office and my phone starts beeping. Can you believe Ohtani? Can you believe Ohtani? Can you believe Ohtani? It had nothing to do with Caleb Smith, the Diamondback pitcher, having his glove taken away. More on that in a minute. But when you see Ohtani, what Ohtani did last night, he had his 40th home run. And he tossed eight innings. He was the starter. Eight innings. He struck out eight. If you've not taken in the Ohtani experience yet, my friends in the sports circles are totally captivated. Like when he pitches, they know. The last time someone had the season that he's having as a pitcher and a hitter, someone who eclipsed 40 home runs, was Babe Stinkin' Ruth in 1919. So we're seeing something here. And yeah, I know our miserable baseball team, and they're playing better, but still, what's happened this year? It's given us something with baseball to keep an eye on, the Ohtani experience. I want to watch. I want to see his at-bats. It's very similar, and I know that some of you will roll your eyes on this one. It's very similar to when the networks would carry McGuire and Sosa and Bonds at-bats. Remember that? Remember when the home run stuff was happening? I remember I had Bob Costas on with me, and he made just one little comment. He's like, yeah, everybody's caught up in this, but are they putting some things into them? And that was very early in the 98 season, very, very early. But the networks would show it. Here's the at-bat. Here comes McGuire. Does he hit another one? Are they going to tie records? Bonds, same deal. If they did that with Ohtani, and I have not seen, it may be happening over on MLB Network. It might be. But I'm to that point now where at night, I think part of my entertainment is to see how Ohtani did that and watch Ted Lasso tonight when it drops. So that happened last night. The fact that he's so good on the mound, it's terrific. I love seeing the Padres gag. I'm from San Diego. I don't have anything with the Padres. Yeah, I grew up going to games. I wasn't a fan. Tony Gwynn, a good friend, late Tony Gwynn, love Dave Winfield. But it's not like the Padres are the end-all of end-all for me just because I grew up out there. I don't have a team. I don't care. But I am enjoying watching them crash and burn after they put so much emphasis into building this team last offseason, and they've been awful. The Diamondbacks took three or four from them, and again last night they lost. They're probably not going to make the postseason the way the Reds are going. So you're paying Tatis all this money. You're paying Machado all this money. You're paying Hosmer all this money. You went out and made these deals for pitchers. You didn't add anybody at the deadline. You had Jake Arrieta, and he grabbed his hamstring yesterday. It's not good. The race in the National League West, to me, is really interesting. It just is. The fact that the Giants are still in control in this division is amazing. It should give Diamondback fans hope for next year. Like, you can stink and you can rebuild, but then you're going to go be aggressive and you're going to go get Chris Bryant at the deadline. You're going to let Mad Bum walk away because you need to retool and you need to reload. And you can have him tip his cap and all that stuff when he comes back, as happened a couple weeks ago. You know, our hometown heroes are 5-1 on this homestand. How about that? And they have Mad Bum going today. The Diamondbacks having a 6-1 homestand. It was just a week ago where I wrote that, are they going to break the all-time losing record in a season? And the answer now is unequivocally no. There's just not enough time left. They're playing much better. It doesn't mean, for those that are like, oh, well, you know, they finished the season strong, and this is not the Suns in the bubble, okay? It's not. So don't try to equate the two. I just don't see. If you brought back the same roster that's winning right now, next season, they're not going to win a bunch of games. So that takes us to Caleb Smith. So the glove gets confiscated in the eighth inning last night. And sometimes, guys, doesn't it feel like, man, there's more important things going on in our world than confiscating a glove as an umpire, putting it in a bag and sending it to New York? I wish I had the job of the guy. I love what I do. This isn't really a job for me. But Be that dude who's in New York who gets there this morning. Oh, what's this overnight package? Oh, it's from Phoenix. Or sometime today, knock at the door. Here's a package. We need you to inspect this glove. Caleb Smith is saying it's just dirt. Umpires say, nope, it's foreign substance. So today we're going to take some time out of society to have somebody somewhere examine whether it's a foreign substance or dirt. That's a great job. That's a great gig. I love that. On the college front, have you seen what's going on in Nebraska? So it comes out yesterday, Trev Alberts, their athletic director, Scott Frost, the head coach, who's under fire. Scott Frost doesn't win this year. He's going to get fired. And the NCAA has been investigating them. So this is Arizona State point two. Somebody internally at Nebraska. Because from my understanding, what I've read, I have not talked to anybody back there about this. But from what I've read, this is film out of practice that is showing analysts that are coaching, which isn't supposed to happen. Do we think that it's happening at, I don't know, everywhere? It's different, though, at Arizona State, where it's illegal recruiting during COVID. So don't give me the, I don't buy that, well, it's happening everywhere. No, your coach had it. Anyways, long story short is what Arizona State did versus what's going on in Nebraska, to me, two completely separate things, other than somebody internally in Nebraska wants somebody out of there. Somebody internally is the one that had the tape. Turn the tape in. Somebody somewhere on the inside. There's inside jobs. It's two of them now. Arizona State, inside job. Envelope shows up, pictures, photos, everything. Somebody on the inside wants to harm the program. Doesn't want Antonio Pierce to remain there or whomever it is. So it's a really interesting story to see in Nebraska today. I saw the story at Washington State, Nick Rolovich. So Washington State, head coach of the football team, state employee. Governor of Washington says state employees must be fully vaccinated by October 18th or they are terminated. So if you're a Washington State fan, if you have players that are on that team, if you are watching the Pac-12 and you're looking at coaches that could be blown out, because so far, coach is saying, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to get vaccinated. Well, now you have the governor saying, state employee, got to be fully vaccinated. That's going on. And then the U of A. I think they're going to make a decision on their quarterback. If they haven't done it already today, but sometime today or tomorrow, either Gunnar Cruz from Castile or Will Plummer from Gilbert. Either way, I will be pleased. I like both those kids. I do. I like seeing in-state kids at quarterback be given the opportunity to play in-state. I do. And both those players have worked their tails off down there, so that's supposed to come out later today. I think the bigger story there is Dave Hickey admitted yesterday that the U of A has a $26 million deficit. Your football program, if they win four or five, they should be doing cartwheels as bad as the program was. And to be in that hole, and you had to pay some people to go away and go bye-bye, and you have new coaches. Remember, softball coach retires, baseball coach leaves, basketball coach, thank you for playing, see you later, here's a check. Kevin Sumlin, thank you for playing. Well, actually not, you ran us into the ground. Here's a check, get lost. So there's a lot of money that's flying out the door. They need to put butts in seats and they need to win. They do. All right, Jordan Simone on the other side. Jordan is involved with, he's involved in a recruiting space now that I find really interesting. So I want to talk to him about that. He's with Signing Day Sports, also the sideline reporter for Arizona State football. A good dude, a very good Sun Devil. A lot to get to with Jordan Simone. And we will do that on the other side as we continue on a Thursday. Sports360AZ.com. All right, as promised, we have not had Jordan Simone on to chop it up in a long time. And that's on me because Jordan's really good. It's nothing personal. And with ASU's football season starting up and everything going on with the investigation of the NCAA, here's a voice that is as loyal as the day is long. On top of ASU, though, Jordan, we were talking off the air, he's with Signing Day Sports now. He's VP of Business Development. What does that mean, and what are you doing at Signing Day Sports?
Yeah, man. Well, first and foremost, let me just say it feels good to be back. It's great to see you. I'm glad we got a chance to catch up before hopping on here. But yeah, I work with a company called Signing Day Sports. And basically what we do, Brad, is we try to get as much college exposure for high school athletes. We have a full set of verified measurables for these kids to go on. They download an app. They're able to put in verified measurables of their height, weight, wingspan, hand size, you name it. A full set of pro day drills, character evaluation on a single platform for college coaches all over the country to be able to view them. And anybody can go download that as a high school athlete and basically be seen on our platform by coaches. And that's our goal, is to just help all these kids and be able to give them an opportunity to play at the next level.
You mean not every kid is 6'8", not every kid is 300 nope. pounds, not every kid runs a 3.9 140, or not every yeah. kid has a wingspan. But in the seriousness, in this day of COVID,
yeah.
the variant, so these coaches cannot get out here. And so yeah. it sounds to me like you're saying, look, we can solve that for you coaches. And by the way, guys, you can't lie. You can't wear cowboy boots with your height, okay?
Yeah.
Those days are gone. I've heard yeah. all the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a one-stop shop for college coaches to go on a single platform and be able to virtually come to a high school, no matter where it is, and see the kids that are on your team. As a high school coach, you know, the high school coaches come to us and want us to sign every one of their kids up, whether it's Saguaro High School or Chandler High School or modern day St. John Bosco. They use us to be able to give their kids all the same opportunity to be seen, and not just the five-star kids, right? It's the D2 kids, the D3 right. kids, the kids that love the game. And so that's why this platform has really resonated with me. And that's why we continue to work so hard here, is to get every one of those kids an opportunity.
All right. Jordan Simone with us for a couple of minutes. What was the date or the month of your last college football game?
I think it was, man, this last ASU game, last year, which was what?
No. Of when you played.
Oh, when I played.
Yeah.
2015, November, I tore my ACL against Washington.
Okay. So from 2015, you and I are sitting here in August of 2021. If there was NIL back in the day, name, image, likeness, look at you, sharp looking dude, player out on the field. You would have had endorsements everywhere. What would you have done for, like, Jaden Daniels is doing a pizza deal. He's doing Netsias. He's doing fries. He's got a car deal. How many NILs would you have had if that were legal back in the day?
I probably would have had like two Italian delis approach me about free cold cuts every couple of weeks. I don't think I would have been the guy that people would have come after, but Mike Bercovici and DJ Foster would have been reeling in deals left and right. You know, when you're an offensive guy and they're selling your jersey, you know, those are the companies want to sponsor those guys. They don't want some 6 foot walk-on, former walk-on, just tough nose. You know, I might have gone Sun Devil Auto or something and fixed a couple cars. But no, other than that, I'm excited for these kids and the opportunities that they have now. I just love the game. I love playing. I didn't play for any other reason than the fact that I just wanted to prove that I could compete at the highest level and play really hard for the guys next to me. I didn't do it for money. You know, having a chance in the NFL was really cool. But at the end of the day, I played college football because I loved Arizona State University and I loved the game flat out.
Okay. If you had the transfer portal, would you have used it? Would you have considered using it?
I did transfer from Washington State to Arizona State. And as a walk-on transfer, I had to sit out a year, which was a bummer because I could have really helped on that 2013 ASU team on special teams.
That's crazy thinking about that.
Unbelievable.
So the NCAA had it in place. You couldn't even walk on and transfer. You had to sit out a year.
Yep. I had to sit out a year after being a walk-on transfer. And it would have been fun to have been a part of that 2013 ASU team that went to the Pac-12 championship. But you know what? Again, it's one of those things that you got to control what you can control. You hear people say that all the time, but you can't get caught up or bogged down and you know, the rules or get bummed out because you take the year, you adjust, you get better. And that year I got a chance to work with some great coaches like TJ Rushing, who's now the DB's coach at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. He was my coach that entire year on scout team. So I was just busting people up on scout team and enjoying it. And also got a chance to be a kind of a regular student at Arizona State, which wasn't too bad.
Jordan Simone with us for a couple of minutes. I'm going to ask you to put on your sideline analyst hat. We all know about the NCAA investigation that's going on. As a former player hat for a moment with your helmet on, when you first heard the news about them being investigated by the NCAA, what were your thoughts? What are your thoughts today on that subject?
You know, it's something that you never want to see from your alma mater. As a former player, it's obviously, you know, sad to see, but I feel worse for the kids that are there right now, the seniors like Chase Lucas and Jack Jones and these kids that are playing that have a real shot to be really successful this season. And now the conversation's gone from they have a real chance to win a Rose Bowl to NCAA investigation. And so that's, I feel bad for those guys. And I know that they're doing a good job of trying to stay focused and keep the main thing the main thing. But no matter how much you say it, those things will weigh you down eventually if you keep being asked about it. But I just hope for their sake that it's nothing as serious as it seems, and that these guys can just focus on playing football.
You've been a loyal Sun Devil through the years, in good times and in bad. Are you frustrated with where they are? Are you optimistic it's going to get figured out? What's your emotions about it today?
You know, I'll kind of resort back to my previous saying is, you know, you got to control what you can control. I don't know what's going on in that building. I don't know. I'm not there every day. I can't speak for anything that's going on there. All I can say is that I'm really, really excited for this year and for the opportunity these players have at ASU. I think this is, you know, you look at this team from top to bottom, it could be the best team we've seen since 97. 96 with Jake Plummer and you know, Pat Tillman and all of those guys that were able to be really successful and make it to a Rose Bowl. 13 potential draft picks is what the Senior Bowl has come out with. And obviously Jermaine Lole getting hurt is tough. But I was at practice the other day. They're as big as I've ever seen them. They're as fast as I ever seen them. And there's experience all over the defense, all over the offense. They have a chance to be really special. And I think the best thing that happened to them is that they lost to USC and they lost to UCLA last year. Those two things, coupled with the experience that they have and the coaching that they have, they've got a real chance to be special.
Okay, take me inside the DB room. Chris Hawkins isn't there right now.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of players that have been on social on the back end saying, we need our coach back. You've been in that position room before. What are those players going through? I'm sure it's control what you can control. But when you have that coach taken out of the room a few weeks before the season, what do you think on that front?
You know, it's tough. And Seahawk's a great coach. He's a great recruiter. You know, it's a tough deal. He's now gone. And so you have to adjust. If these kids want to be professional athletes one day, you have to learn to adjust to things like this on the fly. And guess what? Your coach is there. He's your boy. You love him. Sometimes things don't work out. You got to adjust and move. You got to adjust. You got to be mature and you got to step up to the plate. Look, your coach is gone, but guess who filled them? Guess who filled that spot? One of the greatest coaches you could have step in. I believe his name's Coach Henderson.
Yes.
Donnie Henderson. The dude coach Ed Reed in one of the best defenses at the Ravens Super Bowl. I mean, give me a break. You guys want to talk about a good situation. You got a coach in there now that's got more experience than you've ever seen or ever been around. The guy coached some of the best athletes in the world on the best defense in the world's ever seen. So you got to adjust. Obviously, it's tough, but you got to move on. You got to move forward. I'm sure they're still talking with him in some capacity of if that's even legal, but you got to just count your blessings getting a coach like that as a backup.
Okay. Who have you seen? Because there are, like you said, there's 11 first round picks of those players that you've seen. Because fans ask, what do you see on that back end or within the defense of players that are, that's a first day guy, Brad.
Yeah. I think Merlin Robertson jumps off the page. I mean, he's got to be the first one that you look at. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the athleticism. He looks like he's put on a good amount of size this year too. And with his experience now being a third year starter, he's got a real chance to be special. And he's got to take that jump this year, right, where he's playing more cerebral and he understands his job and he can command kind of this defense. But that's a guy that you look at and you go, he's got a real chance to be a day one guy. You know, Chase Lucas obviously has been starting at Arizona State for the last 12 years, it feels like, and he's played so many games. But if he can have a really successful season, there's no reason that him and Jack Jones can't be a first day or second day guy. You know, and Chase has watched several of his best buddies he grew up with go first round. And that's got to be the expectation for him, especially coming back, which I was so happy that he decided to come back. You know, if you win a Rose Bowl at the end of the day, you win a Pac-12 championship, you're going to get drafted. That's a straight up facts. If you win games, you're going to get drafted. And I think he understands that. If they can have a successful year at ASU, they're going to look at this team and they're going to get drafted, a lot of them.
Jaden Daniels has gotten so much hype and so much buildup, and it's fine. And I like visiting with him. We talked great length about it at Media Day. He's put on some weight, which people always ask him about. I say, eat more Venezias and you'll be just fine. Is he ready, though, to take that next step from your view? The easy answer is, well, of course he is. But are you really seeing it there? Because he could just turn around, hand the ball off to three very talented backs.
Yes, I think that's the thing that you look at first, right, is, yes, he's been a stud since he walked on campus, right? He started as a true freshman. He's thrown three interceptions in his whole career. He went to Michigan State as a freshman and beat them. Like, he's done some things that are really impressive. What's the next step for him? I think it's that next step in the leadership role in the passing game. Watching him at practice the other day, he noticeably looks more athletic and looks like he's moving better. It looks like Coach Joe and the strength staff at Arizona State have done a good job of developing him. He looks like his arm has gotten stronger. He looks like he's moving a lot better, as I mentioned. So I think the next step for him is keep doing what you're doing, obviously. But now, can you adapt in-game to in-game situations, right? Zach Hill is going to put more pressure on him to kind of do some at-the-line reads and adjustments, which I think is I think that's his next step in his quarterback journey. And if he wants to be a first-round guy, talked about as one of the top quarterbacks in the country, that's where he's got to take the next step, right? It's in here. It's between the ears for these quarterbacks. And I think you'll see Jaden take that step this year. But as you mentioned, when you have a couple running backs like they do, by the way, those running backs at practice look unreal too.
They do.
Two of the best I've seen as far as, you know, their body types and how they move. And that's what is so exciting. When you have two guys that can run the rock like that, the pass is going to be wide open.
All right. Last question. Again, we don't know what's going to happen with the investigation. I keep bringing that up like a wet blanket, but it's got to be addressed. So that to the side, is it Rose Bowl or bust? It cannot be El Paso. It can't be. Nice people in El Paso. It can't be Vegas. Nice people in Vegas. It can't be San Diego. That's where I grew up. Holiday Bowl. No, it can't be San Francisco.
Yeah.
That when you have 21 players that come back that have started or have that much experience, and you have all these guys that are supposed NFL high picks or going to be taking the NFL, Jordan, what is the realistic expectation this year? This was a team that was picked 25th. So nationally, people are like, I don't know, Louisiana Lafayette's going to be better than ASU.
A lot of people aren't talking about ASU in the Pac-12, and I think it's the best possible scenario for these players because that chip is just getting bigger and bigger. And I mentioned the loss from USC and UCLA last year, but the way they finished the season, they finished so confident. They went and beat Oregon State on the road in a crappy game. And I think that the confidence is just building and the chip is building. When every person comes out and start talking about USC and Keaton Slovis and Oregon and Washington and Stanford, it's like, yes, keep doing that, because everybody is not talking about Arizona State and they're going to be very surprised. I think it's Pac-12 championship or bust for this team. They have to win the Pac-12. And have an opportunity to play either in the college football playoff or a serious, you know, big time bowl game. And I think that's got to be the expectation for this team and the experience that they have.
Yeah, I would agree with you wholeheartedly on that. Anything less than that, I don't want to hear about, well, we beat U of A, it was a great season. No, those days are, that's the worst. That was the worst. I'm not going to say they're that now. That was the worst Division I program in college football last year. ASU laid 70 on. It was.
Yeah.
I mean, someone had run the thing into the ground. And I think.
But you know what, Brad? I will say this for them. They played USC tough and they played UCLA tough. ASU, I think that's their first full game that they played last year. They played that game from beginning to end as good as they could. And yeah, U of A was going through some things with coaching and this, that, the other. But that's a team that still played UCLA and USC very tough. USC had a lucky bounce, and otherwise they win that game.
Well, and I think that's a fair point, but I would say I think they're better than they were a year ago at this time.
For sure.
So it will make the Territorial Cup that much more interesting. I will see you on the road. We are actually going to be at every road game this year doing our thing.
I love it. So
I will be in Provo and we'll catch up then, if not sooner. Good luck with what you're doing over there with Signing Day Sports. Stay in touch.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate it. Anytime, man.
There's Jordan Simone, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, welcome back. Hey, I wanted to just let you know, next week, Kirk Herbstreit will be with us. His book is terrific. It is much more than just college football, and looking forward to a half hour with Kirk Herbstreit. That will be on next week's show. We transition now over to the big day, and it's coming. I've been talking about the early part of September, September 9th, where the world will change here in Arizona, as we've never seen before. I was up in Vegas last week at the Summer League doing the shows, and I was in Caesars, and I've mentioned this before, as Harrah's being one of our partners, Caesars is the Godfather, the Big Brother, whatever it may be, and they are coming into the Valley, and they're going to be at the ballpark in a big way. And I wanted to have Eric Hessian on. Eric is the co-president of Caesars Digital. Just to talk about the who, what, where, when, why, how. It's really simple, because everybody is banging them over the head. It's coming. It's coming. But it's Caesars that's coming. That's different. Eric, thanks for jumping on board.
Great. Pleasure to meet you, Brad.
Good meeting you as well. I had Trey Wingo on yesterday. Trey was very straightforward in his excitement in being with you. What is it that Caesars is going to be bringing to the Valley?
Yeah, you know, it's extremely exciting to be able to launch sports betting in Arizona. As you know, we've had a long relationship operating casinos in the state, and we're really excited to bring the online and retail sports betting products that we've been constructing in other areas of the country to the state. On September 9th, we're going to have a retail and online sports betting live at 12:01 in the morning. We will have the both products there and have ticket windows right outside the Diamondback Stadium. And so we're very excited about that as well. And we'll be doing special promotions and education so that customers get very excited about it and sign up for our product.
How much, what I'm finding in the early going here, Eric, how much of it is the education? The person that's been doing it for years and years and years, they'll understand it, but that's not the masses. And how do you get to the masses? And it reads to me, it sounds to me like your approach is in building out this big facility, that it's going to be to the, please come down and sample this product because it's something that you will really enjoy and like. Am I on the right path?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A lot of what we're going to do early on is education. And part of that is to make sure that people have a great experience the first time they use either the sports betting windows or when they join on the app. So we're going to have people down at the stadium who will be greeting customers, helping them sign up, helping them get their information up to the app, educating them about what types of wagers are available, and making sure that they feel comfortable signing up and betting sports with us. As you're also aware, we're investing a significant amount of capital into building a sports book directly across from the entryway where you go into the Diamondback Stadium. And although that won't be ready on September 9th because of the significant amount of construction that's going on, what that will be is really a great environment for people to come down and to either wager on sports or not. It's going to be just a fabulous location, indoor, outdoor, two-story. We'll have great food, great beverages, lots of audio visuals, you can imagine. It'll have a broadcast studio for both radio and television. And it's really going to be just a fun environment. And we are hopeful that people will come down and wager with us on the sporting events that are occurring, and they'll come down to watch their events, but they don't have to. It's going to be great for people that also don't want to wager and just want to have a great experience watching a game or having some great food and beverage with their friends.
Yeah, and you know, the mobile side of it is something that's really taken by storm. I've run into people that said, oh, wait, I'm going to go to their mobile app. I'm a Caesars Rewards person. I am already part of Caesars Rewards. So that's where they can go and do their betting, right? You want them to come down there, but you can't have hundreds of thousands of people do it.
That's exactly right. We're trying to do we're going to offer both products to the customer. Some people like to bet in person.
Yep.
And get individual interaction. We'll also have kiosks if people like to bet on a terminal and deposit their money into the terminal. And then we'll have the online product as well, which, as you mentioned, is much more scalable just because it can be anywhere in the state and you don't have to actually physically be there. You referenced Caesars Rewards, and that's certainly one of the key components of the app that we made sure was ready for the launch. It's really the loyalty program that networks all of our casinos and all of our online sports betting, all of the World Series of Poker activities we do, as well as in certain states, the online gaming. So they're all integrated together through the Caesars Rewards. And customers, when they place a bet, they'll get rewards and they can redeem it for items online, like free bets, or they can go to Caesars Palace and get food and beverage here or hotel room, or go to Atlantic City or New Orleans. And so it's really an incredibly flexible program that allows the customers to customize what they want in terms of the rewards for their play.
Yeah, and it should be noted, I want to go back on something, that the location you're talking about, I did shows down there in 1998 when the Diamondbacks were first launched. It was then called High Tops. Right now it's called Game 7 Grill. So fans are familiar that is the area that Caesars is going to renovate, take over, and start from ground zero and build up into a pretty amazing sports book. What do you anticipate from fans that have been driving and flying from Arizona to Vegas for years to go to Caesars? I was just there last week, had lunch over at Trevi doing some business stuff. How do you work that into the equation? We may not see as many people go to Vegas as we used to, but we're darn fine with that.
So what we found is that it actually enhances people's visitation. And so what they do is they consolidate their spending with us in their various markets and become more loyal because of the rewards program. So, for example, we'll find that customers that gamble with us, in our California or Arizona properties also then come to Las Vegas. And when they come to Las Vegas, they stay with us as opposed to staying with one of the competitors.
Right.
And it's because they value that relationship and they value that rewards program. And so what can also happen is a customer will be able to play at Caesars Palace and they'll be able to earn rewards. And those rewards at a later date starting next year will be able to then be used online when they go back to Arizona, for example. It's really going to be a fully integrated system. And we're not concerned that trips will be avoided because we think it's actually beneficial to all of the properties to be part of the network.
That's interesting. Trey Wingo coming on board, and Trey and I talked off the air and on the air about content and developing content and all of that. So this isn't just, hey, show up and throw down some money. You guys are going into the content part of it as well, which I think differentiates what Caesars is doing versus others that are trying to get into the space here in Arizona. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, we're taking a slightly different approach, I would say, than others in this space. And you can see it through our commercials that have aired with JB Smoove, where we're trying to create a Caesar character that's fun, engaging, has a great product, and is fully encompassing the customer experience. And as a result, we're trying to build off that And Trey was just the perfect person to work with because he wants to create content and he wants to tell stories about either our traders, about our business, about customers, about various experiences. And so you can imagine with somebody with the experience that he has about talking about sports and different sporting dynamics, it was the perfect match. And so you're right. We don't want somebody to just show up and shake a few hands and take some photos. We want somebody to really be excited about this. We want him telling the stories. We want him educating our customers. We want him out there talking about our product. And we just think that's a much better experience for a customer when we're trying to generate loyalty and long-term relationships.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, he was a lot of fun. We've had him on before. It's good stuff. Yeah, I really appreciate your time, Eric, and jumping on board. It's really the business side of sports that's coming to Arizona. And I'm in the let's educate people because when this comes, it's this tidal wave that's building. And I don't believe people really know how big it is. It's great to have Caesars on board, as mentioned. So thank you for the visit today.
Yeah, thank you very much and appreciate you having me on.
There's Eric Heshen. He is the co-president of Caesars Digital. And we're back with more after this time out.